I bring you greetings this day in the name of Christ from Grace St. Luke's Episcopal Church in Memphis. On behalf of our clergy, our people, the Bishop of the Diocese of West Tennessee, thank you. Thank you for this invitation and for this joy to be with you on this holy occasion. Thank you for your hospitality and for showing me the love of Christ. Am I? Can y'all hear me? Am I on? I'm on? Good. Okay. Great. Today marks 2 weeks since a domestic terrorist entered a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and massacred 49 people, injuring 53. When future generations ask us where we were when this tragedy occurred, we will remember. And not only will we remember where we were physically, but where we were. The sense of displacement, pain, and violation this tragedy has wrought in so many of us. With these elements also comes a sense of uncertainty, of inexplicability, of silence, of that space within us that is empty and bottomless. And if one were to describe our feelings and inner lives as neighborhoods of emotions, it would be appropriate to say that grit and resilience live next door to the sense of emptiness and bottomlessness. Alice Walker's The Color Purple opens with Celie's account of violence done to her. Physical violence, emotional violence, sexual violence. She is 14 and pregnant with a second child, fathered by the man she would eventually discover is her stepfather. Without giving too much of the book away, or the movie, or the Broadway musical, and of course I have to reference Broadway during Pride Month, Celie's resilience and grit are wrapped up in a phrase she uses when her abuser says, "You better shut up and get used to it." She responds, "But I don't never get used to it." The oppression, the abuse, the violence in Celie's words are not natural. This is not how life is meant to be lived, she tells us. This just isn't how things are supposed to be. But I don't never get used to it. Nor should she. Central to cycles of abuse is convincing those being abused and oppressed that they first deserve it. And second, need to grow accustomed to it. I heard this, if ever so subtly, in the calm and reasonable statements of some talking heads in the immediate wake of the Orlando massacre. It wasn't targeted because it was a gay club, some said. Less cordial voices spouted off saying, well, they shouldn't have been there in the first place. Erase, deflate, write off. How subtle, how insidious. You better shut up and get used to it, they're saying. But we don't never get used to it. We don't ever get used to being gunned down in sacred places, in the churches like this one in which we pray, nor in the churches like Pulse in which we dance. We don't ever get used to being treated like second-class citizens on our jobs, in hospital waiting rooms, at adoption agencies. We don't ever get used to police and vigilantes taking the lives of unarmed black and brown folk. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Eternal One, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. The writers and editors of the book of the prophet Isaiah have this sense, don't they? They have a sense that exile is not Israel's final destiny. No person or people is meant to be plucked from their homeland or from their sense of place or stability. We are meant, in the words and symbols of the prophets, to have our individual and collective thirst for justice, personhood, and economic security quenched. And not at the expense of others. No, the prophets imagine a time in which God opens rivers on the bare heights, fountains in the midst of valleys, a God who makes the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water, so that all may see and know that the hand of the Eternal One, the Mystery, the Holy One, has done this. But I don't never get used to it, says Seeley. We are meant to have our thirst quenched. We are meant to have our stomachs full. We are meant to have our bodies marked by the reality of what could be called the economy of enough, God's economy. And St. Paul alludes to this reality in his letter to the Romans. Now, I know many of us have at best a tense relationship with the late blooming apostle. But let's try to hear him out for just a moment. Just a moment. Here, the controversial preacher and prophet, and this is off script. You know, there are seven scriptures that fundamentalists seem to know when they're talking to gay people or transgender people or any sexual minority. And Romans 1, of course, is one of those. And so we have a tenuous relationship as a result with Paul. As if y'all didn't already know that. Here, the controversial preacher and prophet reassures his Roman audience that adversity is not a sign of God's disapproval. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor general elections, nor height, nor depth, nor taxes, nor anything else in all creation, not even Brexit, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yes, suffering happens. Yes, injustice rears its ugly head. Yes, homophobia and heterosexism and fundamentalism have unfettered access to assault weapons, but we don't never get used to it. As baptized people, we live with the reality of God's fulsome, robust love, a love that activist and theologian Ruby Sells refers to as tough-minded and tender-hearted, a love that lives in the middle of chaos, violence, unrest, and oppression, and says defiantly and prophetically, but I don't never get used to it. Nor should we. Isaiah, St. Paul, Alice Walker, and Seeley all recognize the holiness of grit and the sanctity of resilience. A grit and resilience embodied in a group of trans women of color, sex workers, and other underestimated people who had enough of law enforcement harassment and said enough at the Stonewall Inn those many years ago. a grit and resilience embodied in the black folks of Ferguson, Missouri, when one of their own, Michael Brown, had been lynched by Officer Darren Wilson, people savaged by unjust fees and laws, who said, "But I don't never get used to it." People who took to the streets of their community, resisting the forces of lethal white supremacy, a grit and resilience that invites us to assert our humanity, to say that we are here, that we are loved, and that we will never grow accustomed to being treated otherwise. Can I get an amen? And so we gather in this place to mark and celebrate nothing other than God's love made known to us in Christ, revealed to us week in and week out in the Eucharist. Outward invisible signs of an inward invisible grit. A hope that says, "But I don't never get used to it. I don't ever get used to being an outcast. I don't ever get used to being marginalized. I don't ever get used to being a problem. I don't ever get used to it because I have bread and wine, the sacrament that surprises us with the energy we need to stay alive, to survive, to keep going, to keep fighting. The sacraments are not tokens of politeness. The sacraments are invitations to resist every force of oppression, degradation, and dehumanization. And when we open our palms to receive the gift, we are taking a risk to love. A risk to be loved. A risk to be known. A risk to come out once again as God's beloved people. And my friends, that is something worth getting used to. Amen.